Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we remind ourselves that God is our source. But first, let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we approach your word, we do so ever thankful that your Holy Spirit helps us in understanding who it is we serve, as well as what it is you require of us. Grant us insight, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our reading for today is from Psalm 121, the whole psalm, and I'm reading from the NIV. It's a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. May God bless his word to us today and always. Our reading for today in this season of Lent is a wonderful psalm, categorized as a song of ascents. There are 15 psalms which fall into this category, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. Some folk have called them the traveler's psalms for the comfort they give to those on a journey. For example, it is said that the well-known missionary and explorer of the continent of Africa, David Livingstone, read Psalm 121 and also Psalm 135, both of which praise God for his sovereign rule over all things, as he worshipped with his father and sister before setting out for Africa in 1840. His mother-in-law, Mrs. Moffat, wrote to him in Lunyadi that Psalm 121 was always in her mind as she thought about and prayed for him. That said, more properly, these writings are known as pilgrim psalms. So Psalm 121 is the second in the group of pilgrim psalms, and it is said that devout Jews must have sung this as they made their way to the highlands of Judah, where Jerusalem was located for the annual feasts. As they journeyed to Jerusalem, they sang these songs of ascent, which reminded them of God's grace, his mercy, provision, protection, and salvation. In those days, there were no real roads, only well-trodden paths across the valleys, along the rivers, and over the mountain passes. It is therefore not difficult to imagine that such a psalm might have been sung by a very hopeful but very weary pilgrim, who may have been travelling for days and days, whose feet were sore and muscles were no doubt aching. And as they journeyed, suddenly the hills of Judah would appear in the distance, to indicate that it would not be long now before Jerusalem would be in sight. At that point, they might break out in song. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Some commentators have even suggested that this was the traditional evening song when pilgrims were at their last campsite before the final leg to Jerusalem the next day. Their reasoning being that Psalm 122, which follows, speaks of the travelers actually standing within the city's walls. Now, while these are fairly educated guesses for the reasons and uses of such psalms, what is not guesswork is the very obvious and deep trust in God expressed in the psalm, as well as a sense of peace. It is this trust that made Psalm 121 such a strong discipleship song for pilgrims throughout the ages and in all countries. By discipleship, I mean a journey of one's faith from its beginnings to a place of learning who this covenant-keeping God is and how he involves himself in the lives of his people. How this discipleship for the pilgrim is seen, then, is by observing Psalm 120, the first of these songs, in which the disciple pilgrim was starting out from Meshach and Kedar, both places being symbols for the unbelieving world. His eyes looked around with anguish as he says, "How I suffer in far-off Meshach, It pains me to live in distant Kedar. I am tired of living among people who hate peace. In Psalm 121, we find the pilgrim turning his eyes toward heaven, expressing trust in God. His eyes look up with hope. So, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. An interesting change of gear takes place then from verse 3 onwards. Verse 1 to 2 are in the first person, while verse 3 to the end is in the second person, and this allows us to be part of that group of believers, for we are also admitted to the benefits that are ours by virtue of our covenant with God. It is reminiscent of a good testimony that is shared about what God has done in a person's life. This is what happened to me as I walked with God. It is also what can happen to you as you walk with God by faith. And this is how you can know that the testimony is a good one. So how will God's help come to us? A number of images are used to explain in simple yet well-known terms, expressing what God's unending love, His care and provision for His chosen people looks like. And because the psalm moves to the second person mode of speaking, we have the assurance that this applies to us today as well. In verse 3, we read, "He will not let your foot slip." And it may be supposed that the psalmist had in mind the rough paths they would sometimes be journeying on. But the image of slipping or of losing one's footing is in the Old Testament also an expression for disaster. And times of disaster, whether big or small, introduces a certain amount of instability to one's life. However, for the faithful, God will keep life on an even keel. He will help us to see things from His perspective and understand that He is there, right with us, to comfort us, to watch over us and to bring stability to our lives. And if we were perhaps unsure of the terms and conditions of the kind of attention we might enjoy as faithful children of God, the balance of verse 3 assures us that He who keeps you or watches over you or protects you will not slumber. I remember well my time in the army when we were collared during our downtime for guard duty at local military depots. How hard it was to stay focused, even awake, while standing guard in a static post or even patrolling a perimeter. Thankfully, God is not like that. And this assurance comes to us in the Hebrew word shamar, describing God's protection. It means to keep or to watch over, and it is used 6 times in the psalm, conveying the idea of standing guard. God is compared with a nighttime guard who does not doze off, who is faithful and utterly dependable, not like others. And the point is driven home with the assurance in verse 4 that He will not slumber and He will not sleep. In verses 5 and 6, the imagery changes and further emphasizes God's protection by depicting Him covering His people constantly, like shade, which provides protection from the hostile sun. And in the harsh climate of the ancient Near East, shade from the heat could mean the difference between life and death. Shade is usually a positive image of protection in the Old Testament, and it represents all-encompassing safety from harm. The idea that God is your shade at your right hand simply references the idea that He is specially and intimately involved in the lives of His people as He watches over them. So, God will protect His people during the day. What is curious is the idea of God protecting His people from the moon by night. I think we're smart enough to know that it has nothing to do with a nighttime version of sunburn. The logical view is that God will also protect His people during the night. So the psalmist envisions day and night protection, total protection. Unlike many gods of the ancient Near East who were believed to descend to the underworld at night, the God of Israel is constantly available and vigilant. But now, as we come to the concluding verses in verse 7 and 8, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Here, God's protection is with His people wherever they may go. It's not confined to a particular location or only in Jerusalem. He is present everywhere with his people, as opposed to the gods of other nations, who were understood to preside over a region or country. In verse 7, the word harm can also refer to evil, distress, or adversity, which covers spiritual and physical hostility against God's people. And when it comes to your going out and your coming in, God's protection remains with his people, always. God is both our place of refuge and like a bodyguard, but of course we must resist the thinking that we can expect him to serve us like a hired hand. His care, provision, and protection is what he does as a covenant-keeping God. And I suppose this is what makes it all the more difficult for us to deal with really big moments of what we perceive to be a senseless loss, causing us also to look to God and wonder why he allowed this or that to happen in the first place, especially to those who loved and served him. Similar experiences must have been the lot of the Israelites as well, and through the years that followed. Yet it did not stop them from singing this song of hope and trust. It did not stop them from coming back to the God who saves and cares. It did not stop them from coming back to the one who keeps covenant with his people. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Who is this Lord? He is the one who made all things. And if he made all things, we can surely place our lives in his hands with total confidence. We do this today as we turn our eyes to Christ, who gave himself as an atonement for our sins. May God help us as we walk in this world as his people. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the maker of heaven and earth, we thank you for your steadfast hand on our lives. Help us in those moments when we struggle to make sense of things that happen, to lift up our eyes to the hills and see you in our world. Help us to remain in your presence and hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us in that still, small voice to guide. We think of those who follow you from a distance, whose lives may be in disarray as a result. Help us to encourage them and pray for them, that they too may testify to the goodness of God and say with us, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In Jesus' name, Amen. And God bless you.